Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God, seeking forgiveness and life. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us.
We confess to you all ways we turn from you and our mind.
In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts.
Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray together in singing Immortal, Invisible, God Only One.
Thank you.
Good morning. Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah 58. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it not going your own ways, serving your own interests or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 103, if you'd read responsively, please. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's
kindness. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and astounding in steadfast love. Our second reading this morning is from Hebrews 12. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who wants from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years.
She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he had said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart find their acceptance in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One Sunday morning, a man walked into the sanctuary of a church, but he appeared somewhat out of place. Possibly as though this was the first time to visit this church. He was a bit scruffy looking and his clothes were ragged. He smelled of alcohol, which may have accounted for the unsteady manner of his walking. An usher acknowledged the man with a half-hearted nod and motioned him toward an out-of-the-way pew. Ignoring this suggestion, the visitor staggered down the center aisle to the front pew and sat down. "So far, so good," thought the usher. That is, until the pastor began his sermon. Then the commotion began. "Hallelujah!" shouted the newcomer. The pastor gave him a stern look and then continued speaking. A moment later, the visitor interrupted again, this time with, "Praise the Lord!" The usher came over and whispered to him firmly but nicely, "Sir, we don't do that here." "But I've got religion," the man objected. "Indeed," said the usher, "but you didn't get it here." Like me, you obviously enjoy the humor of that story. And it's a gentle reminder that we not forget the real reason that we come to church. However, I'm not suggesting that the only way to have a meaningful worship is to randomly shout out, "Praise the Lord" and "Hallelujah" in the middle of the service. Those who are accustomed to that style of worship find it very uplifting, of course, but I suspect that most of us here would find it rather unsettling, maybe distracting, and that we would wish it would stop. But whatever we prefer or don't prefer, it says a lot about our expectations and how they affect our experiences. In our gospel lesson for today, we find Jesus teaching in a synagogue, so we know that it's a Sabbath day. In fact, Luke tells us it's a Sabbath. Then the unexpected begins to happen. There's a woman there who has a long-term ailment. Luke tells us that she's been crippled for 18 years. We conclude that she has spent the major portion of her life looking down at her feet. What a burden for her spirit that must have been. Synagogues in Jesus' day were strictly segregated by gender. Only the men were allowed to be in the main part of the sanctuary. Women could attend, but they had to sit in a balcony or a special section off to one side. The synagogue was for the men. They were the ones who entered into debate, the ones who could dialogue with the rabbi about the scripture. The women sat silently, out of the way, and simply listened. Apparently, they were allowed to be seen but not heard. In all likelihood, this woman was doing nothing to attract attention to herself, and Jesus was sitting in a crowd of men teaching. But then he noticed this particular woman out of all the other women that were there that day. Most likely it was because, as the Bible tells us, she was extremely bent over. Jesus immediately interrupted his teaching and invited the woman to come over to him. Luke tells us specifically that for 18 years she had been afflicted by an ailment that caused her to become permanently bent over. And it's probably safe to assume that this ailment not only caused her pain, but also embarrassment. Luke's wording in other translations suggests that her condition was caused by an evil spirit. So people may have treated her as an outcast. Whatever the specifics of her relationship with the rest of the community, having Jesus make her the center of attention in front of the synagogue was not likely an invitation that she would have received with enthusiasm. Jesus' voice rang out with a note of authority that no one can miss. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." He laid his hands upon her and she was immediately cured. She was set free. Released from bondage, 18 years of misery are ended with the touch of his hands. Immediately, Luke tells us, she stood up straight and began praising God. We don't know if she shouted hallelujah or praise the Lord or the Hebrew equivalent of those, but I think it certainly would have been appropriate in that circumstance. Can you imagine the sense of overwhelming joy that she would have felt after being healed from an illness that had lasted for 18 years? Apparently, when the people saw this woman healed in front of their eyes, they must have started lining up for healing. But this did not please the leader of the synagogue. His expectations were not so quickly changed. So like the usher in our story at the beginning of my message, he responded by trying to restore order. He doesn't want change. He likes things the way they are. "It's the Sabbath," he declares, "and according to the third commandment, no one is supposed to work on the Sabbath." It's hard for us to understand that healing is considered work, but that's what they interpreted. And it's not hard to imagine a tone of self-righteousness and disdain in his voice when he says this. We might paraphrase that what he is saying is, "We have procedures for this sort of thing, traditions to follow. There are other days for healing, and this is not one of them." "You hypocrites," Jesus replied, speaking to all the religious leaders and revealing his anger toward those who make God's law into a burden and a way to keep people in misery. To paraphrase Jesus, "You would lead an ox or a donkey to water on the Sabbath, but for this woman, a daughter of Abraham, you would do nothing." Time and again in the Gospels, Jesus declares himself to be on the side of those who, like this woman, are crippled and bent over by the trials and sins of life. In the case of this woman, she doesn't even come to him asking for help. He sees her. He calls her. In fact, every single time when Jesus heals on the Sabbath, it is like that. Jesus simply sees the person, sees their need, and heals them. Never is the sick person so bold that on the Sabbath day they would make a request for healing. It just wasn't done that way. Always it is the Lord who takes the initiative. But on other days, the sick person who is healed is most often the one asking for help. Sometimes they use great effort to come to Jesus. Yet on the Sabbath day, it is different. On the Sabbath, Jesus looks for us. And what a wonderful image for worship that is. So often you and I think of ourselves as coming to church to find God. But did it ever occur to you that in coming to worship, you could be positioning yourself so that God sees you? That He can reach out and touch you? That He can heal you? Maybe there's something about your life that could be helped today by the healing touch of our Lord. If so, there's no time like the present to turn to Him with an open and believing heart. All you need to do is say, "Here I am, Lord." Jesus Christ reaches out to you and me today, as surely as He reached out to that bent-over woman in our gospel lesson. In His hands is the power, not only of healing, but of freedom. Freedom from sickness. Freedom from heartache. Freedom from addiction. Freedom from fear. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Freedom from the power of death. I don't believe that this is a congregation who makes a show out of faith healings. This is not a congregation who normally shouts hallelujah and praise the Lord in the middle of the worship. But you are a congregation who believes that the Lord sustains us in all that we do, and you reverently thank Him for all that He has given you. If we expect too little from Him, may He change us to expect more from His miracles. May we also expect that He will heal our brokenness and cause us to live upright in faith. May we feel confident in our gift of everlasting life that Jesus has promised us, given to us through His death and resurrection. And in that confidence, that we may share God's love with all of our neighbors. Why not use these moments of worship today to make an offering of yourself, of all that you have and all that you are, so that He may heal whatever brokenness you may have and mold you into His faithful people who stand straight and tall, who can look into the heavens and raise their hands to the Almighty in praise and thanksgiving. Jesus is waiting to look into your face and see your needs. Look up to Him. Look up now. Be healed and be set free to live for Him. Amen. And now is our hymn of the day. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
I believe in God, the Lord of heaven, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Thank you.
Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us pray together as our Savior taught. Our Father,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is ready. You may be seated. And as we prepare to serve you, I remind you that in our ELCA churches, we have an open communion table so that all who are believe that in receiving the bread and wine, we are receiving the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, and the promise of eternal life. It says we will be using pouring chalices, so pick up an empty glass as you come forward. The ushers will direct you. And I assume that if you cannot come to the front of the church, you can let an usher know and we will serve you where you are seated. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord.
Amen.
And now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing our ascending song, On Our Way Rejoicing.
I'm just going to run through announcements really quick. First of all, thank you, Pastor David, for being here. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
Good morning. I'm just going to go through a couple of the really fast upcoming items. Next week, we have Pastor Bruce visiting us. He is from Food for the Poor, and he will be leading worship next week. We have already filled 50 Lutheran World Relief school kits. The goal is 150, so there's only 100 more to go, and they need to be filled by September 8th. And I think I saw the receptacle out in the narthex, so pretty good there. Wednesday's table is fast approaching. Next Wednesday, September 4th, a week plus, on September 4th is the first Wednesday's table. We still need some help across the board there and some food donations. So I don't see Cindy and Jerry here today, right? Right. So find them or email them, or just even call the church office, right? You got info, okay, awesome. Let's see, other stuff coming up. The spot is starting on the 11th, and we're still looking for a couple volunteers there. You can either lead an age group, or you could oversee a specific area, like our craft room or the library. So if you don't want to hang out with kindergartners the whole time, that's cool, but we are looking for enough people so that we can rotate, and nobody has to be here every single Wednesday. We are still looking for Cosmo teachers. We are doing a full faith formation on Sunday mornings. So we have everybody from 3-year-olds all the way up to high school. And I have had 2 people volunteer, so that is awesome. And we're just looking for more people so that we can rotate, we can provide some breaks to some, and that everybody gets a choice of what age group they want to be with. There are 3 classes, so we're looking for 6 teachers total at minimum. The pop-up pantry is actually looking really good. We've got a lot of stuff in there, but it will be depleted quickly. So take a peek at the list of items needed for that. That receptacle is separate from the actual food pantry. The food pantry is in the narthex, and there is a separate one for our own church food shelf, and it's down next to the office. And last, I see that Lutheran Campus Ministry is still looking for Monday night cooks. October 7th is off of that list, I just saw, because we volunteered for that one already. So the rest are still, we still look for people that need to help out on those days. LCM is Lutheran Campus Ministry, and Katie Wagner is the director. She, they put on a meal, a home-cooked meal every Monday night, and students, usually around 25 to 35 kids show up. I say kids, but you know, college kids. And they, I know, and they all come and they really, really appreciate a good home-cooked meal. So that's incredibly important. And I think that's everything that's coming up really quick. Otherwise, check the bulletin. Thanks.
I'm going to make a few comments too. I've been doing a bit of pulpit supply this summer, and when I was scheduled to go up to Sand Creek, Pastor Michael sent me a note, and he said, "People like to know something about you when you come to do worship for them." So, I am Dave Sands. I grew up in the Geneva, Eau Claire area. I graduated from Livingstone Central High School, University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. Worked for Eagles Cleaning for 21 years, and then I graduated from Lutheran Seminary. As a couple of you know well, my first call was at Richmond in the Hay River. I was there for 7 years, and then I went down by Stockholm for 3 years. And I've been out of a call for a bit, and we renewed this morning. Hopefully that was something for those of you who want to know me, and not too boring for those of you who don't really let's do our sending. I currently do a sort of responsive thing that you do. Love.
Jesus.
Grow.
Together.
Serve.
Others.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.